woman and family.
Blog Talk Radio.
The black woman and family, Queen Mother Kashiba, you and I may be the elders in the circle today. We may not be, but we may be. But we have to ask that question. And in most viable societies, it is the young men, before they become parents and form a family, the young men grab the spear. And the young men are instructed and guided by the elders of the community on best how to train for and to use the resources to protect our community from exploitation, manipulation, murder, and genocide. I welcome your phone call at area code 646. Let me put this up so people can see it. 646-716-9835. Press the number 1 on your phone to speak, and I'll get that right in. So let's go forward. We're still on our PowerPoint presentation. Who will protect, defend the black woman and family? Vulture capitalism? Will they be the ones that we trust to defend family and defend our group's long-term sustainability and self-interest, our sovereign development? Vulture capitalism? Who will defend the black woman and family? Will it be the black man in all his cultural awareness? This is a photograph of Zulu warrior dancers. You say warrior dancers? Well, they're dancers. No, no, they're warriors. Just staying fit. And if you could dance like they could dance, you'd know how fit you'd be too. Who will defend the black woman and family? What are we going to do with Christmas? We're going to defend the black woman and family from gross exploitation. He said the men of our community will protect them. Prove it, Alpha Griot. That's a challenge to all of us, not just you. We can say the black man is God. I'll hear a person say that and I'll say, what do gods do? Black man, God, what do gods do? From my understanding, gods create, protect, project, provide, and disseminate justice. That's what gods do in all of the lore and lexicon and tales and fables of gods that we have throughout history. Those are the things that God do. Now, this black man as God, what is he doing that qualifies him to be placed in the celestial realm through the equivalent of gods throughout lore and fable and symbols throughout history and parables? Don't get me started, because my brain is trying to say, Keedy, do you want to cuss right now? I said, no, you know I don't cuss. My brother Ali is in the house. He said, here is $59 for you, my friend. And I sure do appreciate that. Let's talk later today. My brother from another mother. Who are we? What do we do? How do we do a better job? I don't want to castigate and condemn my people, my brothers. I want to inspire us all to step up, move up to the next level of our incredible being. I have my first phone call for today. Caller, do give us your name. Where are you calling from?
Yeah, how you doing? This is Griff calling out of Brooklyn, New York City.
Brother Griff calling out of Brooklyn, top-notch rocker. How you doing today, Lion?
No, trying
let's
to stay
get
warm.
Let's get social. Sorry about that.
Trying to stay warm. in this 20 degree
really
weather over here.
Yeah, hard over there. Talk to me now. What are you hearing today that we want to hear from you?
Well, I hear a lot of good things. You know, I jotted down some notes. First, I want to say, you know, you've been saying this since like the 90s, right, about the malt liquor and hip-hop, you know, messages like that back in the 80s and early 90s got me straight. You know, I'm not an alcohol drinker. You know, I don't mess with it. But I didn't know that it was so pervasive with the women. I mean, I don't read entertainment magazines, so I don't really see that. But what I do see, you know, having a older daughter, having a not an older daughter, but having a daughter in her mid-20s, having a niece in her mid-20s, what I do see is that feminism, you know, when these girls go away to college, and these girls, my daughter and, you know, my niece, they both went to, you know, not HBCUs, but, you know, mostly the population of the college is mostly black in Florida and parts of New York. Feminism is just pervasive. It pretty much, you know, I couldn't tell you the amount of arguments I've had with my daughter since she's been to college and come back home about, you know, women and not wanting to stay at home anymore. And you know, we don't have to stay home anymore. We don't have to have families anymore. We can choose to have families later on in life. And her not understanding that, listen, you have a window of when you have, when you're healthy enough to have a family. You know, a lot of these young black females just want to have fun, like Cyndi Lauper said many, many decades ago in her famous song. They really just want to have fun. They want to be on those planes to Dubai. They want to, you know, be on Caribbean vacations, and they want to have high-paying jobs. What's not in that equation is having a man with a child. It's just not something that's taught to them, that's pushed to them in these schools. And remember, you know, in the schools, they're spending more time in school than they do spend at home. You know, my wife and I have been married for 20 plus years. Hopefully that's, we say to each other, hopefully that's enough for my daughter to see, well, hey, listen, a strong black family is important. But I gotta be honest with you, it's not something that she, at 26 right now, at 26, she's still like, hey, you know what? And all her friends are like this. All her friends are like this. They all just want to kind of drift through life and have fun. I live in New York. My niece lives in Florida. She grew up in New York, correct?
The lowest fertility ever recorded for black people on earth is New York, London, Washington, D.C., Philadelphia, Baltimore. I think those are the five cities with the lowest fertility among black women in historical record. This is demographic collapse. These cities are unlivable. You grew up in New York. You know how tough it was growing up as a child in New York.
I was and is. While, you know, they talk about the crime now. I mean, I've been here all my life. I came from the Caribbean at 5 years old, so I've been here all my life in Brooklyn. You know, so I made it through the crazy Reagan era and then the Bush era. And then, you know, I've seen worse than what it is right now, but New York City constantly gets more expensive and harder to live, you know, correct. So,
right.
I mean, I kind of see where women could make.
And growing up, how often did your children get a chance to go outside barefoot?
Well, when I was growing up in the 80s in Brooklyn, even though there was high crime and, of course, you know, the crack epidemic, I mean, we played on the block. You know, we still had those rules. I had a single mother. You know, we still had those rules where it was like, hey, when it gets dark, you better get back inside.
That's right.
You know, I didn't have a problem with, like, hanging out with friends on the block. And, you know, we didn't have TV. We didn't have cell phones.
I'm referring specifically to nature. How often could you play outside?
No, there's no nature in New York. No.
So
there's no nature in New York.
Disconnected from the essence of life. If you can't put your foot on the ground and the grass and see trees and plants and inhale sweet air, then you're disconnected from nature. Let me ask you a couple of real quick questions to show you what's going on. How many children do you and your wife have?
Two.
You have two children. How many siblings do you have?
Five.
How many siblings did your mother have?
8.
8. So what we're seeing is an inverse pyramid. I know you see that structure. So your grandmother, your mother's mother, had 8 children. Your mother had 5 children. You, along with the mother of your children, have 2 children. There is a strong likelihood that your children, between the two of them, will have less than 3 children. And again, 2.1 childbirths per female is called replacement rate. We are not, have not been, since the 1970s, we have not been replacing ourselves. Actually, fertility declined below replacement for us right after 1980, probably around 1984 or so. Now
yeah.
The fertility among all black people in America is so low that the great-great-grandmother that would produce generations of 151 great-great-grandchildren back in 1964, no, not even great-great, great-grandchildren back in 1960, today the great-grandmother would produce 1.23. That's an utter collapse of demographics.
Yeah, I agree.
So that's
I agree.
That's one of the reasons these feminists and these alcohol profiteers, these vulture capitalists, have targeted, they've targeted all young childbearing age women, but they come after ours harder than ever because in 1937, their scientists had predicted that our demographics and our fertility would make us the majority population in this country by 2065.
Yeah, they don't seem to be doing such a great job with the Hispanics because the Hispanics seem to be, you know, have no problem with reproducing themselves.
What is a Hispanic?
Well, someone born from what I understand, someone born, you know, in South or Central America, where their predominant language is Spanish. That's my understanding of it.
Yeah, Hispanic is an artificially concocted census demographic. It was concocted for the 1980 census. Hispanics gives white people cover so that they can continue to exist in the future. They say that Hispanics outnumber African Americans in this country. Have you heard that?
Non-white Hispanics, yeah.
They say non-Hispanic blacks are at, 46 million? But how many so-called Hispanics identify as Afro-Latino?
Not many. Not many. The only reason
million.
I can answer...
14 million.
All right. Well, the only experience I have with that is I could tell you, more than 15 years, 20 years ago when taking my son and daughter to school, I mean, mm-hmm. You know, Mexicans, Ecuadorians, El Salvadorians in Brooklyn now, they don't identify as black. They don't identify as white either.
But of all of them, about one out of every, I think it's more than one of every 5, one out of every 4 actually do claim and identify as Afro-Latino. I recently did the extensive data work. Pew Research Foundation put out the number of 6 million Afro-Latino adults, but that didn't include the children. We know they are the most highest child-bearing population within the United States ethnic tapestry right now. So I think I'm kind of straying off point because we're sort of talking about who will protect our women and family. But this has to do with demographics and survival. I have 2 books in hand. You had mentioned about the work I'd done earlier. That's in the book, Rap, Hip Hop, and the New World Order, which if you read through chapter 1, you realize it's all about survival of the fittest. This population war has turned into a culture war, and that's what the Rap, Hip Hop, and the New World Order book was about, describing population war, culture war. And then I recently did the book, Fade to Black, The Passing of a Great Race. I think you and I had talked about that already. You already have that book, am
yes.
I correct?
Correct.
Yeah.
So if I could just say this in closing, because I want you to get back to the research here. When you mentioned culture war, one of the things I have written down here, and so I don't forget, is this. We are now at the point, and I'm not sure if you know this or the audience know this, we're at the point right now in black culture in America where now a lot of the successful black men, and you could jump online and type in the hashtag passport bros. It refers to black men who are tired of dealing with black women in America, getting their passports, and not just taking trips to South Asian, South American countries. They are now taking trips anywhere outside of the U.S. looking for a mate to have children with, because they're saying that, hey, black women in the United States are just not, some of them say they're not feminine enough, they're just not about family enough. So it's, the culture war is full blown right now.
That's right. Well, you know, white men are doing the same thing too.
They've been doing that.
Many white men have decided that these young, forever Barbie dolls are unfit to raise their family, and so they're going to parts of the planet where they don't have to fight with feminists in their house. And black men are doing the same thing. The tragedy here is I'm the father of three daughters, and my three daughters were prepared. We prepared them very, very well to be graceful, intelligent, all of the right things. And unfortunately, they can't find a man. They report to me, kind of reminds us of the TLC song, "I Don't Want No Scrub." So we are on both sides of our youthful gender. We are in big trouble. We are in big trouble. Let me share this comment, and I want you to respond to Queen Mother Kashiba's comment. She shows, those cities do not have enough men who want to marry a black woman or any woman for that matter. Too many baby mamas and baby daddies, the cities I mentioned. Your response to that?
You know what? I cannot disagree. I'm talking more from the college educated level. You know, my daughter, your daughters, they're in the same boat. You know, all her friends. You know, they date, but none of the men don't want them. And, you know, actually, I specifically told my daughter when she was in college, to, hey, find your husband or someone for a long-term relationship in college. Don't wait until you get out of college to get
it. Right.
Yeah. Don't wait until you get out of college to enter the dating game. She blew that off. And now, three years after college, she's still single. All her friends are single. They go from apartment to apartment, kind of living together in these huddles as they did in college in dormitories. So, you know, I cannot disagree with what the person who left in the comments. I would agree.
Yeah. I cannot disagree with her, but the numbers, though, the numbers be lie different. Someone once said to me, based upon their observation, the ratio of black men to black women in Washington, D.C. is one man for 12 women. I said, no. She said, no. And somebody else jumped in. They were listening. Yeah, that's true. And I said, no, that's not true. So I did just a modicum of demographic search for census data. The ratio of men to males to females, black community in Washington, D.C. was 49% male, 51% women. That's far from 12 to 1. Now, the eligibility criteria is what gives you this perception that there is no advantage there, no value there. Well, if we look at that and take that apart, and I am getting ready to publish, even though I delayed it by a couple of months because people aren't buying my books right now, no need to rush another one that they're not going to buy. The book is called The Rebirth of Love, Revitalizing the Black Family and Community. It's called The Rebirth of Love. And in the first two chapters, during the data research, I introduce it and talk about the background. We talk about what do black women want from a black man. And in the next chapter, what do black men want from a marriageable black woman? I think we need to have those lists handy out there in everybody's pocket so they can get their priorities straight. And it's not going to be helped by increasing numbers of our women drinking white and brown alcohol spirits. Your final thought?
I would love to read that book, I'll be honest with you. But before I read that book, I will tell you that some of the largest YouTube channels cover black relationships. You know, this brother just died, you know, a few months ago. His name is Kevin Samuels.
Kevin Samuel.
His whole thing. Right. These black women would call in with such unrealistic expectations, you know, the six figures and the, you know, he has to have this amount of cars. And it's just like all over. I'm talking black women with no education, black women with high education. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, man, this culture war is all over the place. And they pretty much would say, hey, if I can't get this as my baseline, which was unrealistic to begin with, they would rather mm-hmm. stay single. And
well, and you mentioned Kevin Samuel, and I'm going to have to get back to the lecture. You mentioned Kevin Samuel. Well, I got into him late. I think right around the time he died was when I finally discovered him. And while he had some brilliant insights, he was using the research of Rollo Rossini. I think is his name, Rollo Rossini, an Italian-American guy. And that's where Kevin Samuel's got a lot of the grounding. And Rollo Rossini is still out here doing it. He's pretty good. But I can appreciate Kevin Samuels doing it, but I thought that he cheapened the conversation and he overly exploited these vulnerable young women. I really don't think he was more helped than hurt. A lot of women didn't synchronize with him. I can understand both points of view. Why they wouldn't synchronize him, because he was putting the spotlight on their intolerable behaviors. But at the other same time, the only time he hinted, I can help you, was after he would say, you need to pay me. And that to me is, that's profiteering. That's comprador. You heard of that word comprador?
No.
Yeah, comprador. John Henrik Clark gave us that word. Comprador was a word that referred to when the Portuguese first sailed around to China and started to colonize parts of China. They found Chinese collaborators to help them impose their will over the Chinese nation. These people were called compradores by the Portuguese. And I think they still do exist in our community, compradores, selling us stuff that only undermines our long-term viability. Brother Griff, I'm going to have to move forward. I really do appreciate hearing your voice. Don't you make us wait too long to hear your voice again on your LIB radio.
Absolutely. I'll be listening off air. Thank you.
All right. Respect to you, my brother.
Peace.
And great call. I hope you all do agree. This is why we have these phone lines opened up. And the line for call-in has finished now. So we're just going to kind of keep going on. Did I see it? Was that a second caller? I see a second caller there. Were you trying to get in? Oh, that caller's no longer there. And let me just go ahead and close this out. Couple of comments, and I'm going to go through the rest of this presentation for today. Tony Quaid, I see him in the house, my dear brother. He was not the hero that a lot of people bought into. He was about his pocket, and he was what a lot of youngsters call a poser. And I presume you're talking about Kevin Samuel, and I agree. Imisambi, they all volunteered to call into the show. That's true. Tony Quaid, he was proof that even a broke clock is correct twice a day. I say this, Brother Tony, even a broke clock is right 14 times a week. So Kevin Samuels was not stupid. He was insightful. He was intelligent, but he was a narcissist. He was obviously a narcissist. He talked about his own background growing up in a broken home. And so you can see how this narcissism crept into a personality and kind of distorted his image of how to sustain viability in the black family and community. I'm not here to talk about him. He said he plagiarized the work of many until he lucked up on fixing the black family as a shtick he could work. Imisambi, it was clear to me from watching him, Kevin Samuels, that he wanted black couples to create marriages and families. Rhonda in the house, Uja family, it was me trying to call in. Okay, just as you hung up, I was clicking the button to put you on. I'm sorry, beloved. I apologize for that. Let me see. Can I send her a personal message? No, I can't do that. Sorry about that. We'll get you in twice next time. And again, people, the phone line only stays open for a half an hour. So when I open it at the bottom of the hour, it will cut off at the top of the hour, and that's what happened. I'm going to go forward. We have some more of these panels. Who will defend the black woman and family? Oh, I guess I did get near the end of it. I have these books that further go into detail about what we've been talking about, and I did pull two more books off the shelf relative to today's conversation. I've written on demographics, population, culture wars, for a lot and fertility a lot. Population war report from the front line came out in 1996. Missing Assets and Rap, Hip Hop, and the New World Order. Both came out in 1997. Missing Assets, the subtitle, Cultural, Biological, and Psychological Origins of Infertility. The subtitle of Rap, Hip Hop, and the New World Order is Planned Chaos in Youth Music Culture. And that planned chaos was designed to disrupt our childbearing age youth's lives. The next book, which goes into this subject and talks about black women's fertility crash, is the book Conspiracies and High Crimes. There's a chapter in there. What's the last chapter of the book? Oh, I don't have it. I put it back on the shelf over there. I don't feel like reaching around. And then a very serious chapter with a lot of evidence, hard-hitting evidence, the book called High Crimes of Murder, and there's a chapter called The Abortion Conspiracy. And boy, that abortion conspiracy, that's devastating. So these books are available. These books, believe it or not, are all, I may have raised the price of Conspiracy and High Crimes because I updated quite a bit of it, but these books all run, I think, $10 a piece plus $4 or $5 postage, something like that. It's real easy to access, no doubt. A couple more comments. Rhonda, I was resonating with today's show because it's been plaguing my family for generations. That's very sad. It's plagued out almost all of our families, my family. Not so much women, no, I could say the women becoming alcoholic and men becoming alcoholic as well. And we resonate, Rhonda. That's why I'm so very honored that you have become committed your life to the other side of the equation, not self-imposed death, but community-imposed life. Become a doula, one to usher these beautiful young babies into our community. We have to understand, as advisors to childbearing age women or women entering their childbearing age, they need to cut all alcohol consumption 100% 2 years before conception. Alcohol is a methyl molecule. Methyl molecules impact DNA directly. In fact, it is a process organized by the body called DNA methylation, which is a function of triglycerin. What is it? It's a supplement I take. But it helps the body to properly organize DNA manifestation. But alcohol unorders it. They know fetal alcohol syndrome. We all know about that. We, in the book Black Rap, Hip Hop, and the New World Order, and in Population War, I talk about the impact of malt liquor on men's sperm mobility and chromosomal integrity in the sperm. When he presents 23 chromosomes from his sperm to the woman's 23 chromosomes in the egg, if his chromosomes are damaged, it's a damaged baby. So they talk about fetal alcohol. Women, don't drink alcohol after you're pregnant. What about before you're pregnant? Come on, people, we have not been thinking this stuff through. So Rhonda and Tony and everybody else, I'm so happy. I'm so glad. Brother Griff, I'm so proud. Sister Kashiba and Alpha Grio, I'm so proud. Imisambi, to be a part of a circle where we actually do care enough to know enough to teach. A couple more, I'm going to show one more panel, then I'm going to read the comments and wrap up today's show. Was that the last panel? Yeah, it was the last panel. Who will defend the black woman and family? The black man and all his cultural awareness, no question mark, explanation point. And this is me and my cultural awareness. These are 4 of 6 books talking about the crisis of fertility, the demographic collapse, and how we can turn it around, but not if we just remain ignorant. The alcohol industry is pimping young women of childbearing age. And we can and we should stop it. So we've been talking about all of these topics, looking through these images. The alcohol industry pimps young black women. Who will take responsibility for defending the black family. I say we all do. I am because we are. Lastly, let me get these comments all in. I got you in, Rhonda, on that last one. Tony, if any of our people are serious about really fixing the black family issue, it's not going to come through the machine for social engineering called social media. It actually can, the seeds can be sown everywhere where communications take place. It's called a communications initiative. You have to study communications initiatives in great depth before you realize how valuable they are to social engineering. The problem is, Brother Tony, we are the victims of social engineering by those who are crafting a future in which our elimination was the predetermined goal. Gunnar Myrdal, 1944, An American Dilemma, The Negro Problem in Modern Democracy, Chapter 7, Negro Population, subchapter entitled Negro Population Policy. They had figured this out in the early 1940s, get rid of the Negro. And he said it will not be easy to do, and they assumed it would take 100 years, as we had already been in this country for several hundred years, and in the United States since its founding. And they saw by the 1930s that our fertility was the highest in the country and that we would breed the whites out of majority power. Imisambi, and how do people who are serious go about fixing the black family? You already know the answer to that. Everybody, including you, Imisambi, put something in the chat about how do we fix the black family. I'll put mine in first. To fix the family, we start with fixing the literacy collapse. Fix our unacceptable health collapse. Somebody else typed. Imisambi says, list. No, that's not a fix. That's just a word. Come on, put something in there. Let me just go back, because the other people are probably already responding. KS had proof of a small sample size of marriages that were created from his platform, Kevin Samuel. I don't think anyone can say how or what the remedy will look like or is. Imisambi, I just showed you four books. Don't pretend like they don't exist. Don't pretend that they don't exist. That's what I do. That's what I write. You've read my book, Paradigm Shift, The Next Empowering Pathway for Afro-American Development. You have read my book called Futuronomics, Preparing to Win, Preparing Your Enterprise to Win in the New Global Economy. You've read my book, The Repairing, so don't pretend like we haven't been putting out highly valuable solutions for a long time. We got to fix the illiteracy rate where our people, what do they say? They say it. I don't say it. I've never said this. Well, I probably have said it before. I will not say this with any authenticity. You want to hide something from a black man? Put it in a book. Hell no. That's a damn lie. Look at my bookshelves. I know what's happening. So, Imisambi, come on. Step up. Buy a book. Buy two. Buy four, the four on the screen. You said Kevin Samuels. I read that. When they don't know what they don't know, the irony is that we have many black scholars and real teachers that have dedicated entire careers to fixing our issues, including the black family, Julia and Nathan Hare. Just Julia and Nathan Hare. We could look at everyone from Shahrazad Ali to Juwanza Kuntufu. We could look at Mama Marimba Ani, Wade Nobles. So many scholars. Brother Tony, they put them in books. Ah! Okay, well, then they're not hidden.